Okay, if we could take our seats, please. Okay. Yes, sir. I'd like to welcome you to the 52nd NMSC Annual General Membership Meeting. For those of you who have not met yet, my name is Bob Lagasse. I'm Executive Director, and I'm looking forward to meeting you if we don't know each other yet. Feel free to ask any questions that you want while you're here of any staff member or board member. We introduced the board members earlier today, and staff is usually hanging around out at the table. The first thing I'd like to do, again, is to thank our sponsors, including our diamond sponsors, AgriCoatings for sponsoring the badges, and Lanyard Color Biotics for the conference pads and pens, our platinum sponsors, Invinia, for last night's Meet the Directors meeting, Viably for tomorrow's President's reception, and Vermeer for tonight's reception in the exhibit hall, which is in the ballroom right directly behind us. Also, our silver sponsors, Chromascape, Paltech, G.H. Glennon, and Interplast Films and Social Marks Media for sponsoring our great breaks and opportunities to get together between sessions. Their support and contributions make it possible for the council to expand their program without increasing costs to you, our members. First on our program is the report from Council President Jim Weber of Ohio Mulch. Please welcome Jim to the podium.
Okay, this is just a little something that we put together on stormwater and how to improve your stormwater at your facility. And this is what we went through. So the slide, the big picture to the left of the pond, typically that's pretty much what your stormwater is going to look like in a pond. And how can you improve it? Storm drains usually bowl-shaped lots with storm pipes and production areas carry contaminants, mulch, dirt, with the water trapping material underground and can cause the oxygen level in the stormwater not to pass minimum standards. It also clogs the pipes and increases the maintenance and or flooding. So normally when you've got a storm drain in your parking lot, the slope is greater than 1%, 2%, 3%, sometimes 5 or 6%. And so that the dirt in the stormwater travels with that stormwater and goes inside your pipes and causes an issue. The dandy bags that you see on the right-hand side, an effective solution for our industry, the dandy bags. The holes in the fabric are tightly woven. Even small rain can clog the mulch and dirt in a matter of minutes. The dandy bag will not allow water to penetrate through. So we put those. Let's see, that did not move, Tom. Oh, there it is. So we've put these in before, you know, put them in our parking lot. Next thing you know, within 5-6 minutes, those dandy bags are just clogging it, and then you've got a flood in your parking lot. I'll go back to this one. A good alternative. Bowl-shaped lots with storm pipes in production areas carry contaminants, mulch, dirt, with the water trapping underground. So how many of you have had storm pipe that looked like that with mulch just packed inside of it? Certainly. So we built our facility in Columbus back in 1992, and we tried to get our parking lot to be sheet graded, And the regulators didn't want to have anything to do with that. They insisted on us putting storm pipes and catch basins and bowl shape our park lots. And as a result, we would have dirty water leaving our property. A good alternative is solutions for existing facility. We put straw bales around, and we noticed the bigger the diameter of the straw bale circle is, the more surface you have for the water to go around and slowly percolate into the storm drain. The disadvantage to that is a lot of times truck drivers, employees, run them over, and next thing you know, you're dealing with something big like this in the center of your parking lot. It becomes more of an obstruction than anything else. The disadvantage to this is it's high maintenance. You're constantly flipping over or replacing the straw bales after a rain event. Has a tendency to float. The straw bales have a tendency to float. Creates a hazard in the production area. Water in the parking lot can back up and flood during heavy rain. Better alternative here is a concept where some people call it a forebay, but smaller ponds collecting the stormwater before it goes to the big one. And the advantage of that is you're not trying to drain a big, huge 2-acre, 3-acre parking lot here or pond. You're draining a quarter acre or less to clean out all the contaminants that would be in there, you know, mulch and stuff like that. And you're not shutting down your operation to clean a big pond. That's a lot easier to clean. Inline pre-cleaning storm ponds allow you to do a better job of removing particles from stormwater. Pre-cleaning before the final pond, which discharge off your property. This facility here, this was ours. Part of this lot was storm drains. The majority of the lot was sheet grading. The disadvantage of this facility here was the pond was just too small. It did not have enough, did not have the ability to let all the water settle and let the particles drop to the bottom. The pond was definitely too small, and so we sold that facility, and we're moving to another one. But this particular facility here is not ours and does not exist anymore. It was a competitor. But they built this facility here with less than 0.5% grade. So the disadvantage to that is the stormwater really can't leave the facility. It's just it'll get stuck in your parking lot, and next thing you know, it becomes just a muddy mess. So less than 0.5% slope results in flooding on site. This facility here, this is what we did. It took about a year to get the permits to build this facility, but it's a 37-acre site that will have 25 acres of hard surface. We put in a 6-acre pond, and the hard surface, everything is at a 1% grade. So the advantage to the 1% grade is the water doesn't have enough velocity or speed to pick up the mulch dirt that's on the park lot and carry it with it. You'll have a little bit that does it, but for the most part, it leaves it behind. And then we put a 50-foot gravel strip between the parking lot and the pond, so made of number 2 stone, so any mulch or dirt that happens to travel with the water will get stuck in there. And the gravel, number 2 stone, is about 1.5 feet thick, so the water has the ability to percolate through the gravel to get to the pond before it flows a lot better that way. The best solution for sheet grading is here. This, you can see the gravel, how thick it is on the side. So the actual contour of the ground is about 1.5 feet lower than what the number 2 gravel is. The 1% slope stop the mulch, dirt, and the dirt will get trapped in the number 2 stone. So what our concept is, after a while, when it does build up with some material in there, we're just going to scoop it up, run it through our topsoil processing machine, get the dirt out, and put the stone right back. The advantage of this facility is there's zero storm drains, less maintenance, no flooding, clean discharge. Larger pond results in fewer discharges on an annual basis. So with this facility here and us dying product at this facility, we don't think we'll ever discharge, or if we do, it's far and few between. Best solution for seep grading, 1% slope allows the stormwater to drain the pond, and carrying the pond carrying mulch to very little mulch width. Carrying mulch or very little mulch with it, allowing the stormwater to travel off the hard surface through the gravel, further cleaning the stormwater. So that's our experience. That's what we went through. We went from having a facility that just had issues with keeping our stormwater clean to a facility where we have none whatsoever. And we built the pond at 6 acres. It really, we only had to have a 3-acre pond. But as rules change over time, we pretty much wanted to build it for the future and make sure we didn't have any issues as regulations change. That's it. Any questions? Ohio? Too much. I don't know the answer. I think it's about, 50 or 60. Yeah. There's no fish in it at all. We dug that pond. So the pond, originally there was a small pond on the property, and it was a burrow pit for the state of Ohio they used to get clay out of it to build a highway. And then they put topsoil back in there. So we dug all that out. And then so maybe eventually it will have fish. Maybe we'll put some in it, but right now it's... Yeah, right now there's no water. It's just we completed that pond less than a month ago. Yeah. So, any other questions? All right, thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Next on our agenda is the Treasurer's Consolidated Report. It says consolidated because it's consolidated with the Molten Soul Research Foundation, which is our research arm that basically is funded when we need project work done. But in between, it's just there waiting to be used. It's a 501c3, so donations to the foundation are tax deductible to the donors, as opposed to you giving money to the council, which is not tax deductible. But if you look at our asset sheets, and this is as of our 2022 fiscal year, calendar year, audited financial statements, we have cash and equivalents of $738,000. We have restricted cash, our accounts receivable of $21,000. We have restricted cash, which is the foundation cash, left over from the last project of $5,800. We have property assets of $25,000, which is the equipment that the certification program uses for heavy metal testing. So we have total assets of $790,000. We have accounts payable of $17,000. We have deferred revenues of $232,000, and these are obligations for the certification program or memberships that extend beyond the end of the calendar year. So since you're on an anniversary date of billing, if your dues are due in July 1, the auditor only allows me to include from July to December, and then I have to accrue the remaining from December. From January to the end of June. That's what that number is. Again, Unrestricted net assets, $540,000. Total liabilities, $790,000. Our treasurer's report income statement shows our annual meeting represents 26% of our budget, of our revenue income stream. Our interest in investments is 1%. Our certification program is 34%. Our advertising is 2%, and our dues represent about 36%. Most trade associations like this rely 70 to 80% on dues. That way, which we're fortunate that we do not. So if there's a change in membership, we're not subject. We don't become volatile. We have our revenue stream paced out, and mostly in services to members or the industry. Our actual income from that is $184,000 from last year's annual meeting, advertising at $15,000, certification at $241,000, member dues at $253,000, interest at $7,000, and an unrealized inventory loss of investment loss of $33,000. We did have too much liquidity in the bank, so we took it out, and the board voted to invest it in a money market investment account, which immediately went down in value. Okay? So we're no different than everybody else when they're invested in the current economic environment. But the difference is, that money was not generating any revenue for us sitting in our bank account, and it is now generating roughly 20 times what it was before. And as long as we don't need to cash it out, it's an unrealized debt. By the time we need it, it'll come back. So we're much better off than we were. Total revenue, $668,000. Our expenses, 19% of our expenses are admin in nature. Program expenses are 81%. That's represented by certification, $196,000. Meetings and seminars, $136,000. Member support programs, $143,000. And that's your legislative and other similar programs. G&A is $112,000. So total expenses are $588,000, and our net revenues for 2022 was $80,000. Does anybody have any questions about the treasurer's report? If not, is there a motion to approve the treasurer's report? Jim, I have a motion. Do I have a second? Second, Byron. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Abstained? Three. Where am I? Annual meeting. Membership. Our current membership is 127 member companies. We have 22 in the A category, 29 in category B, which is 2 to 5 million, 23 members in the category C of 6 to 15, 9 members in the category D of 16 to 25 million, 2 in the 26 to 50 million category, 1 in the 51 to 150 million, and 3 in the over 150 million dues category. And this is sales based upon mulch and soil sales only. So if you're doing aggregate and other materials, that doesn't count. Your sales numbers in that area don't count. We have 34 affiliate members, and affiliates are companies who provide product or hard goods to you. And associates are, we have 3 associates. Associates are companies who provide services to you, not hard goods. Most of them are going to be in the exhibit hall tonight. Nonprofit, we have 1 nonprofit member. So a total of 127 members. You'll notice that we're not made up of a lot of big companies. Most of us are small to medium-sized companies. So, and it's one company, one vote. So it doesn't matter how big you are or how little you are. Your vote counts the same. On the annual meeting attendance, I updated this twice after I left the office, and it's wrong. Because I understand the number is now 222. 206 was our 50-year history last year, our historic record. So we set a record last year. We have set a record 4 of the last 5 years. We've broken our attendance records. And we've done it again this year at 222. The last numbers I had were 106 were member producers, 78 were associates and affiliates, 17 were non-members, 12 were speakers and staff, and 1 was press. If we look at our program activities in 2022 and 2023, one of the things we do is we do represent the industry at APCO, which is the Association of American Plant Food Control Officials. This gives us the opportunity to interface with state regulators who regulate your product labels and packaging materials, et cetera. And we have been very successful in the past year of mediating 6 different conflicts that members or industry had with various states. So if you're having an issue with a state, either registration or a labeling issue, it's not unusual that they need some education, and we're happy to come in and help you educate them on why what they want to do is maybe not the best thing or the better alternative. And the nice thing about me arguing with them instead of you is they can't put me off sale. So we can guard you, we can shield you from some of that. We also did the U.S. Consumer Malt Survey this year. First time that we had updated data that we had originally generated in 2012 that showed the industry sales were roughly about 70 million cubic yards after the pandemic, et cetera. We did another survey and updated with some more specific consumer, and this is consumer lawn and garden. This is not construction. This is not highway projects, et cetera. This is just consumer lawn and garden. And the number now is 97 million cubic yards, broken down by how much was in bag quantity, how much they buy in bag quantity, typical household. 39% of all households with a yard or garden buy mulch on a regular basis. And that results in the average purchase is 11.8 bag, 2-cubic-foot bag, so just under cubic yard. And the average bulk, which we've never had before, the mean bulk amount was 8 cubic yards per household. Much lower number of households buy in bulk. Instead of 39, it's more like 22. By the time we finished, we reported this in the newsletter, if you recall, and if you don't, I've got copies. And the overall result was that we are now are arguably a $3 billion market. That makes a difference when you go to legislative and regulators and they want to know, well, who are you speaking for? And so we're $3 billion. No, we're not as small as some people may think we are. We also do liaison with the National Association of we do it with USCC, CSO, NIST, National Conference on Weights and Measures, and the Invasive Species Association, which is writing some regulations having to do with standards for non-weed, for weed-free mulch and soil. We have an input to what they're doing in that process. We have expanded our state legislative and regulatory monitoring process, and you've been getting weekly reports on legislative updates over the last year, which is an improvement we've never been able to do, to be able to single out for you without you having to go through the massive number of bills, just the ones that have changed in the last week. So if there's anything there that you would, we can do more, and if there's anything you would like us to look at specifically other than soils, et cetera, we're looking at mulch, soils, compost. We're also looking at PFAS and PFOS because that's an up-and-coming issue for our industry, among others. But if there's a regulatory issue or a legislative issue that you would like to track, give me a call. We'll let you know if we can track it, either on an individual basis or we can add it to the regular report. We did a plant manager's training course on fire, BMPs, and maintenance. I want to thank Don Duggar, who volunteered and did the fire presentation, did an outstanding job on that, and Ted Dirks from Vermeer, who did an excellent presentation on maintenance programs. We had 30 people participate in that. Usually we only do a weights and measures plant managers training course every other year, but y'all had asked, can we do other types of plant manager training? So we came up with this, and it was very well supported, very well received, and the board voted that. And I've had a number of you call and say, when are you going to run the fire one? I couldn't get my people there. When are you going to run the fire one again? And the schedule said it wasn't going to be until 2025. That's too long given how many fires we have. We need more training in the industry on that. So the board today approved doing a two-day plant manager course in 2024, and we'll do weights and measures and fire and maintenance back-to-back over 2 days in Las Vegas in August in 2024. Ask and you shall receive. Let's see, what else has happened? The slides are getting up. Here we go. Certification committee, we are working on a new proposed program. We're investigating doing an all-natural certification program. If you want to certify your products in the consumer market for all-natural or the landscape market as all-natural, we're looking to offer that as an add-on to the current certification process, and it will... We will publish the requirements that you will have to follow in order to receive that certification, and that will be offered up to the membership as soon as the standards committee can come up with the guidelines, and you will eventually be asked to vote on that before we implement it. So you'll get a shot at reviewing that. Of course, we do the newsletter and the special alerts and more. If you're not getting the newsletter and would like to get the newsletter, see Shelley. She'll put you on the list. If you want to get the legislative report or you want somebody else in your company to get the legislative report who's not getting it, see Shelley. She'll put you on the list. We have had many people added to the list. We've not had a single member asked to be taken off the distribution list, which is very unusual. And we thank you for that. We do have a revision for the bylaws. The committee spent quite a bit of effort going through the bylaws that we hadn't updated in almost 20 years. You will be asked to, you, You were advised of the changes. There are 73 changes that are being made, proposed for the bylaws. We sent out a copy to everybody twice prior to this meeting, and you will be asked to vote on those bylaw changes in a few minutes. And, of course, the Soil and Research Foundation, Molson Soil Research Foundation, is there in the event we need to do technical research or studies that we need funding for, and that's how we go through that process. The Federal and Legislative Monitoring Program, we send you weekly reports, but if you want to see the overall reports for soils, mulch, or PFAS, you can go to the members area and click on the legislative there's a selection for legislative activities. Click on that. There's four options for you to go, and you come up with a map like similar to this, and you can go state by state or region by region, and it will show you every bill that we're tracking. We track this year over 400 bills at the state level. We also track state regulations. So when the states publish regulations that they don't tell you they've published, we get a copy of the regulations. We review them, we comment on them, and we issue. You can go to our regulatory monitoring program and click on that and check state by state to see if there are any regulations that have popped up that you weren't aware of. Here again, our intent is to keep you from being blindsided by either legislative or regulatory processes that you weren't aware of. I do not have currently our supplier or our vendor in this program does not have the ability to allow me to pull out a weekly report for regulatory activities. So we're looking for a better way to communicate what's going on in the regulations area to help you without you having to constantly go back. But you can go back and monitor periodically. If once a month you want to check the state and see what's going on, you can do that. All right. Certification program. Our premium potting soil certified are 58. We have standard potting soils 5, landscape soils and soil amendments at 49, specialty soils at 2, mulches at 159, applications in process 4, so our total certified products are 277. This is slightly down from this time last year. I believe it was about 285. But then we got some more. So it's constantly changing as labels change, et cetera. And, of course, if somebody loses a Vigoro contract, then and that gets absorbed by somebody who already has it. So it's constantly moving. And then not everybody passes. So we see it. This isn't the lowest we've been. It's not the highest we've been. We expect to recover to 280 or 285 or 290 by the end of the year. We've got some products that are coming in. So it's a good representative sample of what's out in the marketplace. One of the things I want to do is thank the certification audit team. Lonnie Nelson heads the team, but Kevin Nelson and Catherine Nelson, they get in a car and in a pickup or the truck and drive, I don't know, about 1,000 miles each of 5 regions in 4 days collecting samples. We hand collect the samples from the marketplace to make sure that everybody's playing fair. We trust you to conform to your certification requirements, but we also verify. And we do that physically with our own team. So, next item. Membership vote on the proposed bylaw amendments. Again, you were giving notice of 73 bylaw changes that were being proposed for the first time in 20 years. Most of them are administrative in nature. Some of them we took some admin things that need to be more flexible out so we could put them in a policy manual that the board controls, and just cleaned up a lot of language and things that were out of date. But does anybody have any questions about the bylaws changes that were proposed? I'm not going to go through and review all 73 of them. But we try to make it as simple as possible by footnoting every change that we made and identifying not only what, but why we were making that change. If you had an opportunity to review it, you know that it was in great detail. Is there a motion to adopt the bylaw changes as proposed by the committee and adopted by the board? Rick? All right. Do I have a second? Kimberly, we have a motion and a second to adopt the proposed bylaw changes. Is there any discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye. Opposed? Abstain. Bylaws have been changed. Thank you. You shouldn't change your bylaws willy-nilly, but every 20 years is a little, should have done it sooner. But we appreciate your support on that. The next item is election of directors. And each year we have, the board consists of 12 directors in three-year flights or three-year terms. So each year, four directors seats expire and have to be replaced. I want to thank the current directors who served the last three-year term. The four expiring seats are Larry Deuce from Silva Corporation, Steve Liffers from Denali, Kent Roeder from Color Biotics, Randy Tyre from Wapaka Northwoods. All directors serve without compensation. So we're going to give them we're going to raise their pay. 2 times 0 is still zero, though. And they receive no travel reimbursement. They do it for the betterment of the industry. And this is a board-driven organization. The board has all the control. Everything is either decided by the board or even the committees. The committees report to the board. The board makes a decision. And if it's a nature that it affects all of you, then it's given to you for a vote. And everything's open and transparent. And all of our board meetings are open and transparent. If you're a member in good standing, you're invited to sit in and observe any committee, any board meeting, anytime, anywhere. And we do have people who do that, and we appreciate their input. We did send a notice out for volunteers or nominations. The nomination committee did not receive any input or volunteers, so the current directors have all agreed to run for an additional three-year term, which would be Larry Deuce of Silver Corporation, Steve Liffers, Denali, Kent Roeder of Color Biotics, and Randy Tyre of Wapaka Northwoods. Are there any other nominations? Is there a motion to close nominations? Who is it? Jim. Motion to close nominations. Is there a second? Ricky. Thank you. All right. There's a motion and a second. Any discussion? No, there's no discussion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Abstain. Okay, the nominations are closed. Then the slate is offered to the membership. Is there a motion to elect the slate? There's no point in doing it. By acclamation. Jim? Oh, yeah. Jim, that's the motion, right? All right. Is there a second? Ben? Thank you. There's a motion and a second to elect the directors by acclamation. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? Abstain. The ayes have it. All right. This is something we normally do a song and dance for while we're counting ballots, but we don't have to do that. We're not counting ballots. But we would like to present some awards and recognitions for the work that these volunteers have done. And the first thing I'd like to do is, Jim, call up an award presentation for Larry Deuce as annual meeting chairman. Next is recognition for director service would be Larry Deuce for your term. And Larry filled it's unusual, but he filled a expiring term of a company that resigned. So he was new appointed to the board. He was appointed last year and then took over the position as program chair. So congratulations and thank you for your service. Steve Lippers. For Steve. You got a third of the plaque? Kent Roeder. And Randy Tyre. Again, thank you for your service. They volunteer their time and they fund their expenses. We buy them dinner. One good dinner. It's a good dinner. but it's one dinner. All right. Election results. Don't need to report on that. We know what they are. Fifty-third annual meeting. Next year's annual meeting will be October 8 to 10, 2024, at the Palacio del Rio Hilton in San Antonio, Texas. We're currently looking for 2025 to be in, what did you decide? Tampa. In Tampa. All right. All right, do we have a motion to adjourn? That was fast. Byron, second. Steve, we have a motion to adjourn. There's no discussion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? We are adjourned. Our opening reception will be at 4:30 in the ballroom across the hall, and it's going to be sponsored by Vermeer. So please thank Vermeer for their contribution. And again, the sponsors allow us to keep the cost of this meeting extremely reasonable. And when everything else is going unreasonably high and expensive, this gives us the opportunity to provide you with an option that is not expensive. So we appreciate that. Thank you. And thank you for coming. While I still have a lot of you in the room, this morning the board created a new committee to investigate bulk load measurements. If you have an interest in participating in that committee, please let me know. Thank you, sir. Oh, yeah, that's money, too.